What really Holmes is talking about in this chapter, this chapter is funny because it has a potpourri of issues that he talks. He's talking about sexuality. He talks about addiction, and this author is putting, I mean, the experience that they had with one of his partners. I mean, killing an addiction in Los Angeles, and how they came into the conviction of what the treatment really is. So Holmes is stating that, and it's not redundant that I'm going to say so, but he says that when we do a treatment without these four issues, it's like a speaker giving a talk of what he doesn't know what to say, because he doesn't make this connection. And I was laughing last night because I said, I hope this doesn't happen to me, that I don't know what I'm talking about. I think that this is one of the best human parts for me as a Latina that I have felt with Ernest Holmes. Sometimes I feel that he is very, that's not true, very, very cold or intellectual or something like that, but now he's putting a lot of passion into it, and it really felt very nice to discover that this is, I mean, a human part. And he even said something funny, that he has never met anybody that doesn't have some warmth inside, in his heart. He's even talking about dogs. He says that the dogs, I mean, like him, because he likes the dogs and he loves children. And somebody asked him, I mean, what would you do? I mean, a couple was very upset because they were having children in both sides of their apartment, and they were until here of hearing the children cry and fight and everything like that. And he said that for him, he would be one of the utmost wonderful experience to hear the children and the laughter and I mean, how they relate to each other. So that is a point that he I really like about that. I mean, because I never foresaw him, I mean, surrounded by children. So anyhow, in my culture is something that is, I don't know why we are always surrounded by children. I mean, that's the way we live. I mean, everybody, especially in the older generations, that we had so many children, everybody had 8, 10, 7, I mean, something so weird. If you go to a wedding, there is a wedding and there is the children of the wedding, and it could be 30 or 40 children running around, so it's a lot of fun. So what Ernest is talking is the importance of really using this great conviction, the warmth and color and imagination. He says, healing takes place to a degree that we send the right kind of thoughts into subjectivity. It means thinking consciously with a deep feeling, and he says, knowing. We implant the right idea in mind, and then mind reproduces this idea as effect in the body. When you use the words, feel the meaning, he says that the feelings without words, it has no direction. Meaning without direction means no creation. So this is really, I mean, we can say, and that's going to be part of my exercise after the talk, because I would like to do I would like us to do a very personal kind of treatment, maybe not with the words what you usually use, but a personal one, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we relate to each other or something like that, so that it feels more personal about it. I think we sometimes we got caught, and I come from a Catholic, I mean, religious, and a very old-fashioned, especially my grandparents in Saltillo, old fashioned, the oh my God, the mercy, and I'm a sinner, so whatever it is, and it was had to be very structured. You were not allowed to use any words but what the church was giving to you, and didn't feel good because sometimes you said, I don't think so. And or maybe there was a foreign language that you don't really talk like that. So what it says is that when we use those words, the treatment doesn't have any direction. And when we don't have any direction, we won't have any creation. As easy as that. So I like that a lot. And it says that when we do a treatment, our mental treatment goes directly into a belief that we have in our mind. This belief has to do with the realization that the work is already accomplished. It's an accomplished fact. And I think that is the part of the conviction that I really like. I mean, sometimes we do a treatment and says, well, I hope I can get a job. I hope I can get prosperous. I hope I can achieve this. And what he's saying is this is not the way to do it. We have to be completely with a conviction that when we do the treatment, it's already happening. And before if we don't do that, we need to go back and get that certainty and that belief before we close the treatment. I think for me that's one of the most important issues here. It has to do with faith. It has to do with conviction. It has to do, I don't know, with trust. It says the creative power responds to the feeling more quickly than any other mental attitude. Spirit responds to us as we are more and more convinced of the reality. When he went to see this friend of them that he was drunk, what he experienced is that the practitioner straightened his thought about this patient. He reveals eternal harmony back to the negative experience. What he really tried to do, and it took them so many hours, was to shift the perspective or the vision of this client, what they really saw, that he was drunk, and really changed with complete belief that this was not what he is, and shift that perspective. And it's so true when we do, treatments for healing or something like that, it is difficult for us to forget that this person has cancer or that this has a certain condition or something like that. And just uncover the reality, the truth of this individual is really the work we need to do. I want to tell you that when it says the practitioner, we all practice, so we are all practitioners. One, we have a little paper license, but I think we are all practitioners. So that's what he said. He says that giving a treatment is a technique, and we can learn the technique, but it says that the essence of treatment cannot be taught. The essence of treatment can only be felt, and I really liked, because we can learn and we can take classes and we can do the technique, but until we have this feeling or the deep knowing, nothing will happen. And it says also that the feeling is in the language. Feelings is the language. Feeling doesn't deny this intellectual conviction, for it adds the warmth and the color to the feeling. The feeling is about the divine presence, and the emotion is the infinite love. And so he was stating about that love is not only the central flame of the universe, he says it is the very fire itself. Only love knows love, and love only knows love. God is love, and love is God. God is the self-givingness through all creation, and we are His expressed likeness. Love is the greatest energy. Now this is very interesting. It says when we practice the presence, the practice of the presence fills the mold, and the word supplies the form. He is the practitioner, or the person giving the treatment, is filling the form with the feeling. So if we can see that the presence is the mold, and the word supplies the form, then the feeling is putting everything in the mold, or in the form, like it says, like a molten lava of infinite love. So when we put that feeling, in that form, it has to be with such. I like the comparison of molten lava. It really needs to be a very strong feeling, very hot feeling. He ends up saying something that I really like. Make yourself feel that you now have, and you shall be given.
And Peter made mention of one of the important issues when we're doing spiritual mind treatment is conviction. And as I pondered on the topic of this chapter, the word that jumped out at me was conviction. And I was in trust that whatever I felt led to share would complement what Peter felt led to share, because we didn't connect during the week at all. This little magazine, it happens to be the January issue of Science of Mind. And I don't get it every month because I travel around and I don't get magazines. But I buy it when I can. And this obviously is the last copy I bought. So I opened it up just for some reading the other day. And I came upon an article by Ernest Holmes. It's obviously edited article because it's taken from How to Use the Science of Mind. But it's totally pertinent to the topic today and to the chapter that Peter has been referring to, because in it, it's an article on spiritual awareness. And I want to read to you, and when I read, I'm reading Holmes' words. Spiritual awareness is important in the use of the law of life. For the law is a servant of the spirit. Our spiritual awareness is the secret place of the Most High. Our conviction and faith are the mount of transfiguration, where we receive a deep conviction that there is a spirit in man, and that spirit is God. And any time when we're doing spiritual mind treatment, we have to be convinced of spiritual principles that exist in the universe. If we're not convinced of them, our prayer is going to be something like, well, God, I hope that we can have some rain in this country, or we can have some whatever it is you want. I hope that I can get enough money to pay whatever it is. I'm trusting you, God. It's all sort of iffy, airy, fairy. There's no conviction about it. And so our treatments for ourselves and for another are only as good as our spiritual awareness. Another way of saying that is they're only as powerful as our consciousness. They're only as powerful as the faith and conviction we have back of what we say. I'll read a bit more of Ernest here. Since so much in the world contradicts this, the ones seeking to demonstrate the principle of good, which is always what we're after in our prayer, we want to demonstrate good in whatever way it is, money, relationships, right livelihood, right service, right health, whatever it is. We must spend much time in the silent... Let me go back to the beginning because I've lost the thread. Since so much in the world contradicts this, the one seeking to demonstrate the principle of good must spend much time in the silence of their own thoughts, gathering into themselves the spiritual energies of the universe until they become more real to them than that which contradicts them. There's never going to be a shortage of contradictions. If you express yourself to another, some people delight in telling you why that cannot be so, or what the hang-ups are, or why that's not going to work. You've got to be so strong in yourself that no matter what people tell you, you can rise above that, and you can hold fast to the conviction in whatever spiritual principle is appropriate to the situation and totally trust and rest upon it. What we do in prayer work, spiritual mind treatment, is simply knowing in our own mind, our own consciousness, the spiritual principle that's relevant to the issue. We're knowing spiritual truth. We either know it for ourselves, or if on request, we know it on behalf of someone else. And conviction is what makes a practitioner effective. I'm quite passionate about this right now because my three students have just finished their exam, and their licensing exam, and one of them had an extraordinary challenge. And what happened was the exam is all computerized now. And you do the exam and it takes 3 hours, and it's not an easy exam. It's been way upgraded since Connie took it, since I took it, since Peter, Judy took it. The exam now is more difficult. And it's probably a better exam. But anyway, it's on the computer, and this particular student worked through the 3 hours of the exam, and at the end you come to a little thing that says, submit your exam. And I was right there with him. And he clicks on submit, and the exam disappears into the ethers. It did not arrive where it was supposed to arrive. So in Denver, Colorado, when they're opening and reading the exams, there were 47 questions, and only 19 of his made it to Denver. And so the extraordinary challenge was, the only solution that they came up with was he had to retake the exam. And that was a toughie for him and for me. For me, because that shouldn't happen. And how do I call someone and say, you know that 3-hour exam you just took? You sweated blood over, now we need a bit more. You've got to retake it. However, in the retaking, and the retaking has happened, and we took every precaution that we're trusting that it's in Denver. I had every other student treating. But what came out of it for me was this person's absolute grace in the situation. And I thought to myself, if I had a question whether this person is ready to be a professional practitioner, I would lose any question because he's demonstrated that he's ready. He's got the consciousness. He didn't like taking it again, but he did it. And I was just so very proud of him. It was just an amazing experience for him and me. Anyway, my conviction the treatment works has led me to believe, as I treated while he's doing the test, that it is indeed all safely recorded now, wherever it's meant to be. When he was taking the test the first time, I was his proctor, but I was in a different room. And I was sitting in a chair, and all of a sudden I realized I must treat for him right at this moment, that he is finding ease in expressing himself. And what he shared with me after the exam, and this was the first time he took it, he said, "You know, I was having a little trouble expressing myself in those essay questions, and then all of a sudden it just clicked and I was just flowing." And you see, that's how treatment works, when there's conviction back of it. Because if there's one thing I got, I believe this teaching. I believe it. I know it works. I use it in my own life, and so it is. Okay, so conviction is knowing that spiritual principles exist, they apply to everyone, and they always work. Where does this conviction lead us? It leads us on the only journey that man has in this life. It leads us into expansion of consciousness. That's the only thing that is going on in our life. No matter what is showing up, what's happening is our consciousness is expanding. Did my student have to grow through the experience? You bet he did. But I did too. I mean, it was. I had to grow too, because I was his proctor. Did I do something wrong? Did I not tell him to press the right button or whatever? You know, so I had to go think that through for myself. But it's always about expansion of consciousness. And I got a wonderful thought for the day from Eckhart Tolle on my Facebook page, just a few days ago. I can't remember the quote properly, but it says, "When you're in the present moment, there are no problems. There only is what there is in the present moment. And you might see whatever's in the present moment as a challenge. But it's only a problem if you start to keep track and dwell on it and think about it and the impossibility of it. Otherwise, it's just a challenge and we just move through it." And how do we move through the challenge? Using the spiritual mind treatment in the way that Peter explained, with the warmth and the feeling and the color and the conviction back of it. How do we use our conviction? Always in treatment. Peter handled that beautifully. But I'm going to read this little paragraph at the end of this article. It's about treatment. "In treatment, we bring our highest concept of life to a focal point." So the power in the treatment is the degree to which our consciousness is expanded. That's how much power we bring to the treatment. "Declaring that since life is unconditioned, whole, and forever flowing, it is flowing in right action through the person, the place, or the thing we are thinking about." Let me read that again without interrupting myself. "In treatment, we bring our highest concept of life to a focal point." "Declaring that since life is unconditioned, whole, and forever flowing, it is flowing in right action through the person, the place, or the thing we are thinking about. In this way, we bring heaven to earth. In this way, our life works. In this way, we continue on the journey of expanding our consciousness. In this way, we have pleasure in the present moment. In this way, we do not see the problems. We only see challenges. In this way, we move through the challenges." I'm sure you realize by now, I did not Peter and I were literally not on the same page, and that I've not even read the chapter that she spoke on. All she told me was the subject matter was conviction, warmth, imagination, and color. And I said, okay, God, what's jumping out at me here? And what jumped out at me is conviction, because bottom line, it's what it's about. A life is worth as much as our conviction. And so it is.
Thank you. And I am so glad that we didn't spoke or anything, because I knew that spirit will be...